November 8, 2016, Board of Adjustment meeting will come to order. The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Campbell?
Here.
Mr. Clitheroe?
Here.
Mr. Hurley?
Here.
Ms. Hammond?
Here.
Okay, I have a motion and second for approval of the agenda.
I move we approve the agenda.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. The October 11, 2016 meetings were distributed to the members of the board. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? Hearing none, could I have a motion and a second for approval?
Don't move to second. Approve the minutes.
Motion has been made and second for approval.
Who seconded that?
Rex. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. The clerk, please swear in the staff.
Staff?
John.
I do.
Okay. Little housekeeping. You may notice there are only four members of the Board of Adjustment present tonight. And when only four members are present, a vote by all four members in favor of an application is required for the applicant's request to be granted. The applicant has the right to automatically continue their case to the next meeting in order to be heard in front of a full board. The attorneys for cases numbers 1936, 1937, 1938, and 1939 were contacted, and they wish to have their cases tabled to the December 13th Board of Adjustment meeting. Therefore, we're ready for case 1940. Notice is hereby given that the Board of Adjustment of the City of Columbia, Missouri will hold a public hearing at a meeting of said board in the City Council Chamber on the first floor of City Hall, 701 East Broadway in Columbia, Missouri at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, the 8th day of November, 2016, to give all interested persons an opportunity to appear and be heard in relation to the following appeal. Appeal of Quonset on 10th, LLC from the decision by said city's plan reviewer to deny a building permit on the real estate in the City of Columbia, County of Boone, State of Missouri, hereinafter described, requesting that said board grant a variance to the front yard setback requirement by allowing an addition to encroach into the required front yard. Said real estate being located at 300 North 10th Street, 1001 Park Avenue, 1005 Park Avenue, and 1009 Park Avenue. Has the notice been properly advertised?
Yes.
Has the property been posted with a notice of public hearing?
Yes.
Have the parties in interest been notified?
Yes.
Have there been any inquiries?
No.
The person making application to the board, please come forward, state your name and address, and be sworn in.
Skip Walther, attorney at 700 Cherry Street in Columbia. I do. Good evening. I'm here on behalf of the owner, Quonset on 10th LLC. John Ott is one of he's the principal owner of that entity. What we're here tonight to discuss is the building that used to be called the Kunz Class Building. It's across from Berlin Cafe. It's on the corner of 10th and Park, on the northeast corner of 10th and Park. The building was built, we think, about 80 years ago. It's a Quonset hut. It's a metal building. It used not to have any insulation. It was used for, you know, storage. I'm not sure what the use was before Kunz Class owned it. But they've used a lot of it for storing their materials that they go out and all throughout Columbia. My client recently purchased the building and is renovating it to turn it into a restaurant, and Root Cellar is going to go in there. There's going to be restaurant and some office uses, and to do that requires, you know, a significant amount of insulation and reworking the building itself. The main floor, the south side of the building is the front yard, and it faces Park Street. And in order for us to be able to use this building for restaurant purposes, it has to be ADA accessible. Well, it's not ADA accessible. And it's my understanding, and Matt Creedy with Engineering Surveys and Services is here to go into more detail about this, but it's my understanding that the only way we can make it ADA accessible is to install these porticos extending toward Park Street. Now, when we submitted the application for a variance to you initially, we indicated that the front yard was on 10th Street, but we now understand that's not correct, that the front yard is on Park Street, so there's a 25-yard setback, 25-foot setback, excuse me. And we submitted a new drawing that shows the setback relative to the building. And as you can see, a significant part of the building is in the setback. Well, 80 years ago, there wasn't any zoning, and there weren't any setbacks. This is M1, and so there's a 25-yard setback, and I would ask you to take official notice of the M1 zoning statute ordinance, excuse me, which is 2920. And in that zoning ordinance, it defines the front yard setback as being 25 feet. I'd also ask you to take official notice of another ordinance, 2928, which talks about nonconforming uses and I think authorizes us to make this request of you. And subsection D of ordinance 2928 indicates that you can grant a variance as long as the extension doesn't exceed 25% of the first floor, and it doesn't, but Matt Creedy is here to verify that as well. I would also like to provide you with architectural renderings of what it actually is going to look like, and so I'd offer these renderings into evidence as well. Now, the rendering that is being handed out shows two entrances with curved roofs. Hope there's enough to go around. Okay, it shows two entrances with curved roofs, which mirrors the curved roof of the building that exists today. The front, the part facing Park Street, is going to be mostly glass. The you can see the east elevation on the lower drawing in this diagram, and that's where the door is going to be. So the door won't face Park Street; it'll be perpendicular to Park Street. Again, these additions to this building we believe is required by the ADA. We do not want to demo the building. We believe that it has historic significance for the City of Columbia. My client has come up with a plan to repurpose this building and to make it an even better part of downtown Columbia. We certainly think this is very much a part of downtown or very close to downtown. And so we would ask your approval of our request to install these porticos into the city setback, into the 25-foot setback. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So right now, this has always been known as an address on 10th Street, is that correct?
Yes, it is. And we thought it was had a front yard on 10th, but you define the front yard as being the longest,
right.
Shortest.
The shortest, excuse me, the shortest width, and our long width is on 10th, so it's Park Street.
So I'll have a line of questioning, I guess, for staff at some point about that, why it has to change at this point. But then can you tell me, please, what the where the building sits in relation to the street now? What is the actual setback on 10th Street and on Park?
Well, the side yard is 10 feet, so it's 10 feet from...
What actually is it? I know what's required.
Oh, the diagram, we provided a diagram, and Matt can probably answer that.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure that it identifies that in terms of feet, but it's visible on the diagram that we provided you.
So I was just wondering what those figures are.
I think Mr. Creedy can answer your question for you. It is just it's this is kind of odd, but our property line actually is over into the side. Some of the sidewalk on the south side on Park Street belongs to us. We are within the right-of-way, or the building is outside the right-of-way, completely outside the right-of-way. So we're not talking about the right-of-way. It's only the setback, the building line. And again, the building is almost completely over the building line already. And these appurtenances we're adding on won't invade the building, the setback, as much as the southwest corner of the building already does. We think it's a very minor deviation from the ordinance, and it will allow us to use the building for root cellar purposes, for restaurant purposes, for office purposes, and we think that's a very valuable improvement to this part of Columbia. Thank you.
Any other questions?
All right. Thank you. Matt Creedy is the next.
Please state your name and address and be sworn in.
Matthew Creedy, Engineering Surveys and Services, offices at 1113 Fay Street. I do. All right. Well, just I'll start with answering your question. Certainly, as Mr. Walter has explained, I mean, the building itself is contained completely on its property. It hasn't crossed over the right-of-way line. It looks odd when you look at it from the street because the right-of-way line is not at all parallel to Park Street. It's actually veered quite a bit. If you're ever out there, and I didn't get a good picture of it, you'll see a mark in the corner of a curb. Actually, it's the property corner. So the whole sidewalk itself is not there. As it stands today, I don't have an exact measurement. It's approximately 1 foot at the closest distance from the property line on the south side along Park Street. And, of course, that's the closest piece, and it varies from there. See if this wants to work. Okay. The computer's not happy today. It already restarted on me once. I think this diagram gives a little better description of what we have here. Look right down here at this corner where the hand is. I mean, that's its tightest point, and you're approximately a foot. Now, relatively parallel along 10th Street, and it's, again, approximately about a foot and a half to 2 foot, right around that range. And the building, once you switch the 25-foot setback and the 10-foot setback to really be conformance with the way the code is written, it's completely crossing over in all locations. As you can see, the 25-foot setback line here as well. And of course, the 10-foot on the other side where it's crossed over on that on the entire frontage of 10th Street. And as noted, as this was one use previously, is Coons Glass, which really had no accessible entrance. They have occupied that space for many years, and I really don't think they had a need for the accessible entrance when they were built, you know, prior to the law. So this building now, as you walk up along 10th Street, there's a step into the building. And if you come in to the side, there's overhead doors. You know, really no accessible entrance there, and there's one door there, large threshold, and a bit of a step on that door now, too. And as you take this space and you're creating it into multiple tenant spaces, now you need to begin providing accessible entrances for each of those spaces to comply with code. So, you know, we've added the ramp out front in the plan. Easier if I pull this over here, right along over here. And then on the south side, though, on the other hand, it's important to, again, get an entrance there that can serve each of those tenant spaces. And that becomes the point of having those entryways to get a good, you know, energy efficient entrance, have what you need there as well, and provide something that meets the grades and the accessibility requirements into a modern code. So that becomes a necessity of that entrance. So other than that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you all might have.
So I see on the one that we had, the plot plan that we had in our packet, it shows two additions.
Yes.
On the south side. On the one I'm looking at on the screen, it shows one to be built now and another one future that would require a variance.
Yeah, and this came as we were confusing the setback lines, because same thing, we're thinking it's 10th Street address. So our mind went the front yard, and I think staff did the same thing, and we later realized, hey, then all the 25 foot's actually on Park. So our request was in line with another section of the code, which says, you know, if an addition can be added to a building if required by code or required by law, even if it's non-conforming. And then there was a freedom in there not to have to come to Board of Adjustment. But when we got into, oh, no, the setback's actually off of Park, it became an issue that no, a setback's actually, or a variance is actually needed because the addition would then be in violation as well.
Okay. And that wasn't second, my question. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm maybe a roundabout answer, but the problem would be if the 10-foot setback would have interfered with that other addition. So we were trying to get root cellar permitted sooner.
Okay.
So I apologize for the confusion. So I wanted to bring up a little more detailed plan.
Okay, so I guess my question is, tonight, are we looking at a variance for both?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I apologize for that confusion. Okay. This was just a little clearer plan.
Both what?
Both additions, both entrances, yes.
Okay.
As shown in the packet and Exhibit right. 1
That's
in your
right.
packet.
Okay.
So, I apologize for that confusion.
Okay.
So then at some future date, you can just put the other addition
on. Yeah, the intent is they'll both be built now. No. But the tenant that was actively looking for their space was on the middle addition. And we were actually thinking it was compliant with the code at the time.
Sure. I understand.
So there will be a door, the existing door on 10th Street will remain, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And could you tell me what is the, well, maybe I have a question about the, you heard my question about the address, but if 10th Street is the side yard and it's a corner lot, can you explain why it's a 10-foot setback and not more that's required according to the existing code?
Well, and that's what the code requires. In fact, if it were in a corner lot, there wouldn't be a side yard setback if it was against another M1 property.
Well, is the property to the north residential, or is it also M1?
It is, I believe, a split of C2. And
north?
M1, I believe. Correct. Is that correct? Okay. That was good memory.
I'll wait. And I'm wondering why I thought a corner lot in M1, unless it's residential, needed a larger side yard setback.
No, the 10 yard is what comes with the corner lot on the M1, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Well, we'll.
I don't have. He's got the code in front of him. Let's. But I'm pretty certain that's correct.
Correct.
Okay.
And you found that there's no provision made for repurposing historic buildings in our current code?
Not when they're non-compliant. And I think that's why we have to come to this board is, you know, when you've got a non-conforming building, the intent is, I mean, you can continue to do internal renovations, but anything external then becomes non-conform, you know, adds on to a non-conforming, and that's where the code draws the line of saying no. And you have the opportunity to come here for the Board of Adjustment to appeal your case on that. All right.
Another question?
Yes. Reference the decorative gate, making up the south side there. Is that primarily an automatic gate, or will that be open or closed? Closed, assuming that it would hide the vestibule area from public view.
Well, I think you're looking at probably more of a low-lying gate, more of a four-foot type
like
fence,
that.
Just decorative. You know, if there's some external seating out there, it separates it from the right-of-way. And one thing that we wanted to make clear is, for years, you know, the Kuhn's Glass business had been parking there. You got a great Google Earth image where the dumpster actually sits over the entire sidewalk and sat there for years like that, where pedestrians could not pass. And what we're trying to create is a clear delineation of where the public way is versus the private, and then continue to maintain accessibility not only for the private code but also for ProRag, where the right-of-way itself, or at least what's perceived as right-of-way, is also accessible. And that fence helps delineate that. And the actual setback off the right-of-way is so there's room for gates to swing and not interfere with the 4 foot required by ProRag for the accessibility along the right-of-way.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
the last in this the yard requirement of the M1 zoning, it says side yard, no requirement except that on corner lots and where an M1 district abuts a residential, there should be a side yard of not less than 10 feet. So
This abuts a residential?
No, it's except on corner lots and where it abuts residential. So we're a corner lot. So we're the first,
Except.
Yeah. Okay, you're welcome.
Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of the request? State your name and address and be sworn in, please.
Cliff Jarvis, representing Columbia College, 1001 Rogers Street. I do. Good evening. As I said, Columbia College, representing Columbia College, we own the property immediately to the north of this tract, and Mr. Ott is trying to do some great things with this property and really improve that, the appearance of the building, the use of the building, bring more people to this part of town. It's important to us, important to Columbia College, that we draw people to this area. It makes the area safer and more activity in the area. That makes the area safer. So we're in support of this addition to the side yard setback, the front yard setback rather, and we'd request that the board approve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Pat Fowler, and my address is 606 North 6th Street. I am here for two reasons. One is that I'm active in my neighborhood association. I'm actually an officer with the North Central Columbia Neighborhood Association, and I'm also a member of our Historic Preservation Commission, and I have some insight to offer on that regard. First, from our neighborhood perspective, Mr. Ott met with us in May, and we talked extensively about his intentions for the building. We're delighted that he purchased the building and will renovate it. As you know, North Central is the most mixed-use neighborhood in Columbia, and we want to continue that trend. And we think that the tenants that he'll bring into a renovated Kuntz Glass building will add to that immensely. So I spoke with our board members. We don't meet formally until next week, so we haven't had a chance to formally vote on supporting this variance. But 6 out of 7, myself included, that I was able to reach do support your approving the variance, again, because we think it really adds to the vitality of our neighborhood, which is already a vital place, and we want to see that continue. As a volunteer historic preservationist, this building has been one of our favorites, and we talk about it often. We, again, are delighted that a property owner, particularly one from Columbia, wants to repurpose it. And we encourage you and our city to be flexible, because without such flexibility, our historic structures will have an even more difficult time being repurposed into economic uses for the benefit of all of us. I hope that you will take into consideration how much this adds to our neighborhood when you vote, and that you will approve the variance. The only part of this process that I have any hesitation is the fact that neighborhood associations are not listed as one of the people getting notice. And I hope in the future that city staff and perhaps some of the changes we're about to make to our code would include that, because we like to stay on top of what's happening in our neighborhood. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have for me. Thank you for your consideration.
Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of the application? Anyone wishing to speak in opposition to the application? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Comments of staff?
It appears that the applicant has made it clear what they are seeking, and I would concur that the addition of these porticos will make it much more accessible and also energy efficient.
Comments of legal.
Section 2931 sets forth the legal standard. Cases where a citizen makes application for a variance from the strict application of the provisions of the zoning ordinance, the board may permit such variance only when it finds there is practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship in connection with a specific piece of property which has not been self-imposed, is due to the unique characteristics of the land, and not common to surrounding properties. In passing upon all variances, the board must find that by granting the variance, substantial justice will be done and public safety and welfare secured. It will take an affirmative vote of 4.
Any comments, discussion? Rex?
I think the new owners of this is to be commended for making an innovative use out of a building I fully expected to be torn down when I saw the change. But I just a little bit of a personal thing. I started out my career living in a Quonset hut on South College Avenue, and there was about a half dozen, at least, Quonset huts that were moved up here from military purposes. And yes, they do have some historical connection. So I think they are to be commended, and we should be a little bit flexible if need to be to enable them to have to do what they're trying to do, which is to make effective use out of it.
Comments, questions?
I'd just like to ask staff, why was the address allowed to stay on 10th Street all these years, but is now required to change? I mean, I understand what the ordinance says, but here we have a historical address, and it probably makes no difference, but I do think historical things in our city are sometimes overlooked and not given perhaps the special attention and approval they should get.
Addresses will be where the main entrance is located. So that doesn't necessarily coincide with what is the front and the rear and the sides. That makes sense.
So there's going to be actually 4 entrances to this new building now.
Yeah, and I did not research how it was addressed now, but I'm going to guess that the offices off of 10th Street will still be addressed off of 10th Street.
That's what it looks like on the plot plan here. And then the 3 on Park will be addressed to Park.
And because it's divided up and facing different ways, you can have different addresses in one
building.
Yeah,
for first responders, so they get to the right place.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So I guess I probably have a question, huh? Typically, the inspector guys like to know what we did when we approved this variance. And right now what it says is to extend into the 25-foot yard setback, but we don't have a size for those additions? Because we can't say it's going to, yeah, well, I guess we can, but when it's at an angle, that would be difficult to state that. So if we just, yes, come ahead.
Excuse me, for us to get an exact dimension for you, but I understand that they are 10x4,
okay.
So you're looking at an additional 4 foot of extension into there. And just for full clarity, since we're already extending in, that's going to put us, everything's at an angle here.
I know,
so it's a variation along there.
It is. I think if we just.
You'd be okay with this as an exhibit?
Huh?
We not just use this as an exhibit?
Well, we could do that.
Yeah.
Does that have measurements specified on it, though?
No.
What we can say is it looks like we're varying from 13 foot beyond the setback to 19 foot on the far end.
Okay.
Sorry, 14 foot.
13 foot to 19 foot.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's easier just to call it up to 19 feet or how you guys want to approach that.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody want to tackle this? Okay. I make a motion that we approve the request for the variance to the front yard setback, allowing an extension of the building to be 13 feet in front of the 25-foot setback on the westernmost part of the addition to 19 feet on the easternmost part of the addition.
The existing building and then the new additions.
Look at this. Really, yeah. They're going to do both.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
But it will include the
existing. That's correct.
Building. Second that.
Okay, a motion has been made and seconded. Clerk, please call the roll.
And can I clarify, is that for both on the diagram, the addition that says entry addition and the one that says future entry addition?
I'm sorry, say that again.
On the diagram I'm looking at, it says entry addition, and then to the right of that, it says future entry addition.
Don't look at that one.
So you're just doing the one that's in gray.
Look at the one that's in the packet. They're both on there. Okay?
Okay. Well, I just am confused because this one says feature and the one on the packet had both of them.
Okay. Either way, it'll work.
That work for you?
The only difference between the one on the screen, on that screen, and that screen is the fact that the one on the left, which shows both additions, the setback just needs to move back another 15 feet. But that's just a line on there.
Oh, we don't have that.
That doesn't show anything.
Oh, so that this.
Pass it over.
This one.
Yeah, there you
I
go.
I only have one diagram on the screen.
This, not have this one.
That was the one included in the package.
That is the wrong one. This is the one that they submitted.
Somewhere eventually.
Okay, we're good.
Case number 1940, Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clitheroe?
Yes.
Mr. Hurley?
Yes.
Ms. Hammond?
Yes.
Okay, your request has been approved.
Thank you.
Anything else we need to discuss? How about a big thank you to Megan?
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yep.
Then we can adjourn.
And I should let you know, will be here to replace Megan at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else from the law department will be here in December. I don't know.
There is a revolving door at the front of this building, it appears. So.
I'm not leaving. I have a conflict that night.
Okay.
So I think you just need a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second. All in favor.
All right. Thanks.